scripture lessons today are from Corinthians and Ephesians. Hear the word of God. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the word of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity and to the measure of the full stature of Christ. The word of God for the people of God.
Are you a gifted person? I don't know about you, but if someone were to ask me that question, I was taught at an early age to modestly say, "Oh, no," and just move on. We've been taught that it would be rude to go around describing ourselves as being gifted or talented, as if it might make us superior to others who are around us. Gifts are not the same thing as talents, according to the Bible and the scripture that we heard. Since we generally understand talented to mean being better at something than most people, we're wise to be cautious about identifying ourselves in this way. After all, we don't want to go around being arrogant or boastful. By God's design, though, all of us are gifted by the power of the Holy Spirit when we come to know Christ. These two passages that were read today come from letters written by Paul. These letters were intended to be pastor-teacher's response to believers whose particular circumstances provoked a spiritual crisis that required much theological reflection and practical resolutions for the early church. Its crisis was the early church members were looking at people as less than if they didn't meet a certain standard of giftedness. You see, the church, it wrestles with unity in diversity. Paul writes that each of us were given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. The gift that God gives to all believers help to fulfill God's perfect plan. You see, you are a piece of that plan. You are a piece of God's puzzle. So I invite you to find that puzzle piece that you got, to hold it up, look at it, and repeat after me. I am uniquely gifted. I am a piece of God's perfect plan. Believe in that. Paul highlights this classic problems of unity because we as the church, the body of Christ, we're subject to being fractured people. And the early church in Corinth, they wrestled with this issue, especially in their affluent society. Paul labored to help the Corinthians see that all truly belong to one another in Christ, despite their differences of gifts and graces. You see, you are uniquely gifted. You are all a piece of God's perfect plan. It's precisely in those differences, these different pieces of the puzzle that create stimulating work from the Holy Spirit. It abounds in helping to build the body of Christ in the world. Take a look at your puzzle piece. Let's ponder this thought as we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts in this time and this space be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Help us to see that we are all uniquely gifted and claim that we are a piece of your perfect plan, O God. And all God's children said. I think talking about spiritual gifts challenges each one of us. We struggle with understanding that each of us are truly gifted by God to do something special in the world. We all have the raw material and tools that we need to do God's work. God went to a lot of trouble to make you and every one of us unique. We all are a part and we hold a piece of the puzzle that make up the body of Christ. I hear a lot of people say, I'm not gifted. I don't have a gift. God can't use me. I'm not like you. I don't really have a special ability that matters or will make a difference. That mindset, my friends, it's wrong. We focus on the concept of this worldly talent and we don't grasp the difference between gifts and talents. Webster Dictionary defines the word talent as a special ability that allows someone to do something well. So a talent can be a natural aptitude or skill. People at birth are often born with certain genetics to help them excel in certain areas. As they grow up, we discover our talent. We cultivate, we improve, and it sets us apart from other people. That distinguishes us as being talented. A talent can be possessed by anyone, Christian or non-Christian. It's often practiced over time and develops and gets better and better and better. But what the Bible is talking about in this passage that we read today are spiritual gifts. They're different. Take a look at the people around you. Look at someone on the right. Tell them, you are uniquely gifted. Oh, you got to do better than that. You are uniquely gifted. You are a piece of God's perfect plan. Spiritual gifts are special abilities that God gives to everyone who are Christian to build up the body of Christ, most of all, to glorify God. Spiritual gifts are beyond our natural ability. You don't earn them or sometimes learn them. Spiritual gifts are by no effort of your own. A talent is. They are free gifts from God through the power of the Holy Spirit. Talents can sometimes be used for God's glory to minister to others, but a spiritual gift is always, always used by God for God's glory to minister to others. The church's health and growth and vitality depend on each one of us using our gifts for the common good of all humankind. Without the variety and distinctiveness that each one of us brings, the faithful community would be a pale imitation of what God desires the church to be. Hold up your piece of the puzzle. Look at it. Say, I am uniquely gifted. I am a piece of God's perfect plan. These gifts are what we have for bringing people into the church so that people can know God's redeeming love found in Christ and see Christ at work in the world. Our spiritual gifts are for the benefit of all of us collectively in community and the world. In these passages, Paul is addressing the early Christians and each one of us who are here today who will hear the words, who don't believe that they have gifts. Paul says there are many different kinds of gifts. There's a countless number of unknown gifts. These gifts are all significant in God's eyes. Every individual has a function to execute, and everyone must work together for the common good. You see, unity and diversity creates a balanced body, the body of Christ that God desires the church to be. I'm uniquely gifted. I'm a piece of God's perfect plan. Believe that, my friends. Paul intended these words for us today to be remedial education for the church. Did you notice the poetic balance that was struck in some of the passage? A balance between two foundational ideas, unity and diversity. One Spirit, many gifts. One Lord, many different ways of serving. One God, many activities. One, many, collectively, all of us. Paul is gazing at a situation of a fractured community and knows in order to build up the body of Christ, each person must accept that they are gifted and take their gift, their piece of the puzzle, and allow God to use it. Look at your puzzle piece. God has given each one of us gifts, not for our own personal satisfaction, but for the good of all humankind. You are a piece of that puzzle. The Corinthians had been thinking of their gifts that God had given them in terms of status, being superior. I think sometimes we're the same. Sometimes we look around and we see that in the world. We experience that. Certain gifts do seem to engender admiration and respect. We certainly do admire beauty. We respect talent. We're impressed by eloquence. But in this passage, we're invited to learn a new way of looking at gifts. The true measure of our gift is not how rare they are or how impressive they are. The true measure of our gift is how we're allowing God to use them. Yet in our human condition, we live in a world where we say, not me, I don't have any gifts. Take a look at your puzzle. Hold it up. I'm uniquely gifted. You got it. You're good. I'm a piece of God's perfect plan. Let me suggest a way to maybe get a handle on your special spiritual gift. Think about how Jesus would describe you. That may sound strange. Step around the strangeness for a minute and think about it. How would Jesus, who knows you better than anyone else in your life, describe you? How would Jesus describe what you most desire to be? Think about those words. And in those words, you just might find one of your gifts. Another way, listen to the people that are around you. What do they see in you? I often found early on that I discovered my gifts when people affirmed them in me. People that I would encounter that say, hey, have you thought about this or that? Because I see these traits in you. I think you have these strengths, and you might be able to use them in this way. It's after all how I ended up in ministry at age 18. But my gifts are not probably what you might think. Some people know what they are if they know me really deeply. I often get people that guess my gifts as teaching or a pastor shepherd type gifts. My friends, I am none of those. My gifts are not typical for people in ministry work. My number one gift is the gift of administration. And every time I take those darn tests that test you, that's always the highest number. And I'm going, oh. My number one gift, administration, really? What happened to exhortation? What happened to the compassion? But see, if you know me, the gift of administration, followed by faith and assistance in helping gifts, those are my top three. You see, if you really know me, you would understand that those really are my true gifts that I possess. It is my God-given ability to organize and manage information, people, events, and resources to accomplish the objectives of ministry. I handle details carefully and have this ability to plan and order steps and needed to achieve goals. I am a getter done. I love coordinating events. And if you think about it, most of my work involves much of that. My gift of faith, which is my second highest number, strengthens my gift of administration because I have this divine ability to recognize what God wants done and to act when others might question or doubt. Even in the face of barriers that seem overwhelming, I often can just see, and I just know. I have this feeling. God's going to see this through if this is the direction we're supposed to go. I believe deeply in the power of prayer that God is present and active in my life and everyone I encounter. I often see how God is faithful to God's promises in all things and works together for good. My final gift is this one that's labeled assistance or helping. It's kind of one that we forget about. And everybody thinks, oh, everybody's got that. We always work, you know, and do that. But It is my God-given ability to work with others in performing practical behind-the-scenes tasks to sustain and enhance the body of Christ. You know, I actually like cleaning things out. It's kind of strange, but I like to do that sort of thing. I receive spiritual satisfaction from doing everyday ordinary tasks quietly without public recognition. I love seeing a need and being able to take care of that need without being asked or others knowing that it's getting done. I like to free others up to carry out their own unique ministry using their own spiritual gifts. Gifts are the puzzle piece that God gives us for building up the body of Christ. When we open ourselves up to be used by God, God does amazing things. Our gifts are a piece of the puzzle in God's hands. They become supernatural. I believe who you are is a gift. You and I, we all have a piece to play in this tapestry of the body of Christ. Are we going to hold on to the gift? Are we going to put them on a shelf? Are we going to ignore them? Are we going to open our hands and bring our gift to the table so that God can do amazing things in this world? I don't know why you have the gifts that you have and the ones that I have, because I really would love to be that pastor, prophetic person. I only know that we have them for a reason, to build up the body of Christ for the common good in this world. That's the interest in the business of doing life together. When we do, people experience Christ, and they come to know the redeeming love that we find in God. So are you a gifted person? Yes, absolutely. Where you come from, it's a gift. Who you are, it's a gift. What you long to be are all gifts given to you by God. By God's grace, each one of us belong here. Each one of us is an indispensable part. Each one of us serve the body in unique ways. No one of us is greater than the other. We're all equal in God's eyes. Look at your piece of the puzzle. Look at it. Think about putting a puzzle together. What happens if one of the pieces is missing? What happens to the church if we hold on to our gift and not let God use it? What happens if we're not willing to step out of our comfort zone to help build the body of Christ? If you know me, being in front of you, oh my, that's stepping out of my comfort zone. For Christians to be different is expected, and it's necessary for the richness, the wholeness, the health of the church. When we fully grasp that each of us is gifted, each of us has a purpose, we're all interconnected, we come to the table of grace today, unity among diversity. We all have equal standing. Whoever you are, whatever your circumstance, whether you feel like you're multi-gifted or not gifted at all, hear these words. Believe them. God says, yes, you are. You are uniquely gifted. And the gifts that God has given you is for the benefit of others. That's the point of life. Hold on to your peace. Look at it. I like mine because it's several different colors. Think about what your gifts might be. When we use them, it brings life. One Spirit, many gifts. One Lord, many ways of serving. One God, many activities. Sometimes I think we have the exact opposite of the problem of the church in Corinth. It's not that we want to lord our gift over another. It's that we're actually afraid to use them or acknowledge that they exist. We're afraid of the piece of the puzzle that we have to hold on to. We put it in our hand, and we squeeze our hand really tightly closed, hoping that no one's going to notice. Instead, it is my hope that we allow God to take our peace so that we might be used for God's perfect plan this day. God searches and searches and searches for just the right gift for each one of us. God knows us intimately and knows the circumstances of our lives. And at last, God settled on your gifts. This gift, this piece of the puzzle, you, a part of the body of Christ. God knows we will be able to use it and bring joy to the world, to the wider world that's waiting. When we take our piece of the puzzle and bring it to the table of grace today, I hope you'll offer it up so that you might be used by God. I invite you to take your puzzle piece and hold it tightly. It represents you and the gifts that you have. So when you're invited to come to communion and receive it today, bring it. Bring that piece of the puzzle to the rail. After receiving communion, look at your piece of the puzzle and say, I am uniquely gifted. I am a piece of your plan, O God. Think about those gifts and offer it up. Leave your piece of the puzzle at the rail. If you don't know what your gifts are, come and talk to one of us. We're going to try to figure out those gifts together in the next few weeks. So look at your piece of the puzzle. Hold it up high. Use these gifts, O God, these gifts that we have, so that we might glorify you. Use them, O God, to make the world that you love a better place. Thanks be to God. And all God's children said,